This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Locksmiths. Friend of the show and our Check the Locks Halloween episode co-host Jessica Gomez has written a dark thriller novel called Pieces of You. This creepy but emotional tale of grief, abduction, and murder is Mare of Easttown meets Psycho, and it's perfect for all of you who love crime stories.
Nora Aberdeen, a grieving college dropout, ventures to a deteriorating small town to meet a blind date. On her drive home, a bloody young woman darts in front of her car, causing Nora to veer off the road and headfirst into a tree. When Nora regains consciousness, the woman is gone. Nora's estranged uncle, a sheriff's deputy, comes calling with information about a growing list of young women turning up dead in the small town of Woodbridge, including the woman who caused Nora's accident. The local police have written the women off as drug overdoses, but suspicious circumstances and the department's ineptitude point to something more nefarious. Unsure if she can trust the only family she has left, Nora tries to uncover the secrets of the missing young women and her connection to them, when a strange motive unfurls. Will Nora uncover the truth before the killer claims another victim?
Pieces of You by Jessica Gomez releases October 1st. Pre-order as a hardcover, paperback, or ebook online at Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, bookshop.org, or ask your local bookstore to order it for you. Sign up for Jessica's newsletter at writerjessicagomez.com and follow her on Instagram at writerjessicagomez for updates.
Hey, locksmiths, I'm Angel, host of the ModCo podcast and fellow locksmith. The ModCo podcast is a weekly podcast that talks about organization and entrepreneurship. We cover topics such as organizing your finances, avoiding burnout, mental health, and sharing the realness of being an entrepreneur. New episodes available on Wednesdays.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? I feel like I haven't seen you in a while because I've been sick. How are you doing? How's everything been?
You know, life's been pretty good. I recently resigned from my job, which I don't know if the podcast world knows about.
They didn't. They don't know that.
Yeah, nobody knows that yet. But surprise, I resigned from my job, which has been something in the works since June. So not a surprise. So I'm just kind of taking a break and went on vacation with my family for Labor Day. And now I'm back doing podcasts with you.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, you've been under the weather while I've been doing a little R&R.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Also, first, like, congratulations on finally getting a little peace. So, like, the listeners don't know, but, you know, work was really stressful for you and stuff like that. And we've been talking about it. It's something that I knew about, but obviously, like, you know, we're not going to put too much stuff out there on the podcast until things actually happen. So, I know it's a big shift, so I'm glad that you're enjoying it. But yes, we had like some crazy air quality alert starting last week on Monday. And ever since then, dude, I feel like I have like a little snot goblin living in my face. And he's just running around and causing a bunch of problems. So
that's what I'm going to be for Halloween, a snot goblin.
That's the next t-shirt, just snot goblin. But yeah, so if I sound like super stuffed up again, really, really sorry. This is actually like coming up on the tail end of it. So I'm feeling better than I have. Thank God for my mute button too, because I'm still coughing quite a little bit. But I would have felt so bad if anybody would have had to listen to me on like a Monday episode or anything. The way I was sounding, it was awful.
I just sounded terrible.
Oh yeah, we talked on the phone and you were like, what's wrong with you?
You don't sound good.
I literally had a humidifier like 3 inches from my face, just on full blast. It was like I was like sitting in the rainforest because my face was just dripping from the condensation. But yeah, finally getting to feel a little bit normal again. So for the listeners out there, so sorry. Thank you for being patient and bearing with us, but definitely happy to be back for sure.
Well, this week's a short on time.
It is a shorty, a little shorty. We're coming back with your case. And we were kind of talking about it a little bit before, and I won't spoil anything, but it's definitely, like you said before we started recording, something that we're kind of seeing a trend in, which I'm not going to lie, this kind of trend makes me happy to see that. You know, and I think the listeners will get it as we go through. But I don't know, should we quit with the Gabby, get into the stabby, just break down this week's case?
Yes, I think so.
Let's do it.
And I do think the listeners are going to realize our trend, but I'm glad that this is what's happening in the world, though.
Yeah, for sure.
This week, we're going to go to Indiana back in 1993. Carmen Van Hus was visiting her grandmother in a local hospital in Indianapolis. She went to visit with her father and younger brother. On the night of March 22nd, the weather was dreary. Carmen's father, James Van Hus, suggested that she stay the night at his home. It was about 10:30 p.m. and he didn't want her driving with these conditions. Carmen insisted on driving the 20 miles to her Northside apartment. She needed to get back to do laundry as she had work the next day. Now, Carmen arrived home around 11 p.m. Neighbors heard as she and a male made their way up to her apartment. One neighbor sent in a noise complaint stating that around 1 a.m. a loud scuffle broke out. Shortly after, it was silence and the male left the apartment. Now, the apartment office left a note under Carmen's door the following morning. 2 days later, James Van Hus received a call from her manager at Pizza Hut. They told James that it was unlike Carmen to not come to work, better yet, not notify anyone of her absence. James was worried, and he tried calling her several times with no response. He decided to drive to her apartment, and when he arrived, he found the paper noise complaint and an unlocked door. Sadly, James would find his 19-year-old daughter partially clothed and stabbed to death. Carmen Van Hus was born October 9, 1973, in Indianapolis. Her parents divorced when she was young, and she was mostly raised by her aunt and uncle. She was close with her father and younger siblings. Carmen attended Lawrence High School, but eventually dropped out, earning her GED. She never caused any trouble and was an animal lover. She aspired to become a veterinarian. Now, at the time, Carmen was a waitress at the local Pizza Hut. She was living in an apartment with her boyfriend on the north side of town. Detectives would search the apartment, which was now a crime scene. There was food and beer bottles around, suggesting that she may have known her attacker. Carmen had been sexually assaulted and stabbed 61 times. A DNA sample was collected during the autopsy. The first person of interest was her live-in boyfriend. However, his alibi checked out as he was out of state. Eventually, DNA testing would return from the sample collected from the autopsy. The results would shockingly come back to a white Caucasian female, not a male. The wrong DNA sample had been sent for testing. Carmen's case would eventually go cold until recently. Now, in 2018, the Indianapolis Police Department would reopen the case to retest the correct DNA. A private company used phenotyping and genetic genealogy to analyze the sample. Now, several years later, the Indianapolis Police Department got their answer. 52-year-old Dana Shepherd. Shepherd is currently living in Missouri and was arrested. He's being charged with murder, felony murder, and rape. Now, detectives have since learned that Shepherd lived in the same apartment complex as Carmen back in 1993. He is expected to be extradited to Indianapolis for his first hearing. So that's this week's case, John. After 30 years, we're catching another murderer with genealogy and genetic testing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we're talking about the trend, right, because it seems like we've had several, like, short on times or, you know, even full episodes recently where these horrible things have happened decades ago. And, you know, through modern technology, you know, people spitting into the tubes and everything like that, they're able to catch who they were looking for, you know. And it always blows my mind because I'm just like, what was this guy thinking for the last three decades? What else has he done that we don't know about? But like, has he been walking around just being like, I got away with it. It's been 30 years. I'm getting away with it. And then I can't imagine, you know, you're just sitting at home one day, 30 years later, and you get that knock on your door. It's like, hey, bud, we know what you did.
Yeah, this man's been walking scot-free for 30 years. And it says that he is currently employed at the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri. And I might be saying the wrong college or, you know, whatever. But in Columbia, Missouri, he is a custodian there. And so, like, he's just been living a normal life. I didn't see anything that said, like, wife, kids, that kind of thing. I don't know if that much information is out about him yet, but just crazy to think that he could do something then. And like you said, is that the only crime he's committed? I mean, it's been three decades. So a lot can happen. Either that was a one and done event. And then did they really know each other? You know, I'm interested to know, like, was he over there eating and having a beer with her? Was he someone who bought her beer? She was 19 and in 1993, I still think you had to be 21 to drink alcohol.
Oh yeah.
So was he friends with her boyfriend that was out of state? Like, how, what was their connection that he would be so comfortable in her apartment?
Well, and I think the thing is too, so like, I've lived in an apartment for a while, and luckily the apartment that I lived in was, you know, I was in my early to like mid 20s. And it was mostly like 40 to 60 year old women. But, you know, and shout out to them, by the way, they kept me alive. Like, one of them, their daughter worked at Panera Bread and would bring bags of bagels that they were going to throw out. And I would put them in my freezer. I just lived on bagels for like weeks at a time because I was a poor kid in my first apartment.
I thought you were going to say, I lived in this apartment and most of the people were like guys my age.
Oh, no, I definitely lived. It was like an older folks. But they all, like, you know, I was a young dude. I was respectful. Like, they all were like, oh, he's, you know, he's super nice. But we had this younger couple that lived a couple doors down, and they were the rowdy ones. But, you know, we'd hang out with them and drink all, you know, there was a pool. Like, we're hanging out. So it's like, I'm sure if you're around somebody enough in that situation, you're like, oh, yeah, it's just my neighbor, man. He's cool. Yeah. And then you're in the house with them alone, and you don't know what they're really like under the surface. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the other thing that was really interesting is that Carmen was 19 and this guy is working at a college as a janitor. So,
oh,
you know,
no, this is him now. This is what he does now.
Right. But what I'm saying is like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he's working around young women.
Yeah. That's part of my speculation. Again, I don't know if this is true, but it does strike me as like, you sexually assaulted and attacked a 19-year-old girl. And now you work at a college with, you know, people of the same age, 19, 20, 21 year old, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not saying that, you know, he has attacked anybody. This could be the only thing that he's ever done, but it does, you know, strike me as a little odd that that's what he chooses to do for a profession. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to definitely keep tabs on it and, you know, keep following and see if we get any extra information.
Yeah. I want to know like what was up. Also, like, it just seems weird to me in that environment. Cause again, living in the apartment that I lived in, like those ladies that lived in there, they knew everything that was going on all the time. Cause they were constantly just kind of like, you know, keeping an eye out. You know, if they heard something, they'd look, see who was coming and going. And so, you know, it's surprising to me that nobody was able to be like, oh yeah, it was this guy. You know what I mean? Especially if right. you're living in a complex all kind of stacked on each other like that. So I don't know. It's, yeah. it's interesting. Again, it's mind blowing that he was able to get away with it for so long.
Well, if we're talking deadbolt, what are you thinking?
Oh man, for me, I'm probably going to put this, I'm not this victim, right? I'm not like this guy's, you know, type, not the MO, anything like that. But what really, I think, pulled on my heartstrings going through this was, you know, James having to find his daughter and just, you know, thinking of yourself as a father or, you know, I mean, you have nephews, you know what I mean? Like somebody you love coming home or, you know, going to check on them and finding them that way is heartbreaking. So, you know, and just thinking about, you know, she had dreams, right? She was working at Pizza Hut, but she wanted to be a veterinarian. Like she had yeah. things she wanted to get done and somebody stole that from her. So I don't know. For me, I would probably put this at an 8 just because these ones always just tend to get me a little bit more where it's like, man, you had your whole life, you know, you're just young and, you know, hadn't gotten a chance to really get into life yet. And before you could, somebody took it. And that's really sad.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put it a little bit lower. I'm going to put it at a 6. You know, the whole being young, being a young woman, being attacked is very, you know, scary to me. That will always be high on my deadbolt test. But I just have too many questions to really, you know, was this a random attack? Is this somebody that she knew? Well, I need to know more about the situation. And I think if I did or knew more of the motive or what had happened, I might be able to score it either higher or lower, but I'm going to go in at a solid 6.
That makes sense. I mean, I think, you know, the more information you have and the more detail definitely paints a more, you know, more detailed picture of the actual event. So it will be interesting. I'm really hoping that Shepard doesn't just, you know, put in a guilty plea and then we never get to see it go to trial or find out more.
Oh, I'll be angry.
It always makes me so mad. It's just, you know, because you got him dead to rights, right? Like, I've got your DNA. I know it was you. I think the other thing that kind of blew me away, we didn't really talk about it much, but like, how do you mix up DNA like that?
Yeah, I came back to a European descent, white Caucasian female. And it was supposed to be the DNA that was like collected from the sexual assault. And so they're like, well, clearly it's coming back to her.
Right.
Because it's a female.
But what like caused you to wait that long to be like, well, we'll just send in the sample. Like, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think some of the little things I read was like a funding issue and I don't. You know, who knows? I'm sure there's more details on that.
I know. That's just sometimes like what blows my mind about doing some of these cases where it's like, it's a funding issue. So we can't test this DNA and find out who actually took this person's life for a couple of decades, but like eventually we'll reopen it, you know, and thinking about the family just having to sit there and wait and not knowing like it, that sucks
and,
for sure.
And maybe they wouldn't have gotten an answer either way. You know, maybe he wasn't in the system yet and you know?
Well, yeah. And I mean, he may not even be in the system now. It may have just been.
Right. Cause they did the like genealogy.
Yeah. The, you know, whatever version of 23andMe that they use, you know, so it could be a nephew or a niece or something did it. So I don't know. I'm just glad the family finally got closure and it's just always feels good when somebody who has got to be just thinking like, I got away with this, gets that little bit of justice. Yeah. You know?
And the whole thing with this too, is like, remember, I didn't really make a big deal about it cause it's not about Granny, but her grandma was sick. Her grandma ended up dying like a day or like 2 days after she was murdered. Cause you know, they went to visit their grandma in the hospital. So they like were, the family was grieving the loss of a grandmother and the loss of a daughter, you know, and that's tough.
Yeah. You know, and it's just sometimes the world puts a lot on your shoulders, you know what I mean? And, you know, to have to carry that for that long, to be like, I just want to know what happened to my daughter and who hurt them for literal decades. You know, that's just, I mean, that's not a weight I ever want to carry. That's for sure. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. I am putting it at an 8. Olivia is coming in at a 6. But as always, we got to turn it over to the locksmiths, the listeners. So we want to hear from you. Where does the murder of Carmen Van Hus fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We say it all the time. It's the best place on the internet. We'd love to be able to spend some time with you and get to know you just a little bit better. So if you want to hang out with us, you can actually find a link to the Facebook group in the description of the episode that you're listening now. Click it. Come hang out with us. Love to hear what you think about the cases. And as always, if you like the show, you like what we do, you want to help financially support it, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks to get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, coffee mugs, stickers, all sorts of stuff. Plus, you get the episodes early and ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to throw us a couple of bones, help us keep the lights on. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're telling people to check out this little podcast, getting it out there by word of mouth, just know that we appreciate that so, so much. That's how we're going to find new listeners, is you tell people to check it out, right? It's all about that grassroots kind of organic growth. So if you are doing that, if you're letting people know about the show and sharing it with the people who are important to you, just know that we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.